Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Today is Sunday, and the time is 3 o'clock, and I am your hostess for the next half hour, Sandra Teresa Davenport, also often known as the Health Reverend. I tell you, I am really happy to hear my own voice today, but I'm happy to have whoever is listening to me. I'm very, very happy because today we're going to talk about tea parties. Yeah, not just tea, but tea parties. And I want to tell you about the tea party that I had back, a few years ago. I had a tea party for my birthday, and I put really good effort into planning a good crowd for my tea party. And I want you to know what I did, and I want you to start planning your own tea party. I have to give you an apology because I've been snowed in for the last 3 days, and being snowed in Northeast Georgia is a really big deal. And somehow or another, I let the time of the day slip up on me. And so I didn't have John's interlude ready to play for you, but that is never going to happen again because I have figured out what I need to do, and I'm doing it. Before I go any further, I want to just pause and tell you a couple of things. The most important thing I want to tell you is that beginning the first Sunday in February, beginning today, we're going back to the half-hour show. And I'll tell you the truth. The reason for that is that I just don't know just exactly what I need to do, but I really need to generate some listeners. And I'm going to do that by way of one or two of my social platforms. Oh, my goodness, social platforms. I'm going to eliminate my Twitter activity, and I'm going to focus on Google Plus and Facebook alone, those two. I may perhaps maintain LinkedIn, but I was using too many platforms to do myself or my followers any justice on either one of them. And I don't need that many. It just takes too much time to go back through every possible follower. And I was getting a lot of followers. I have collected, I don't know, it's a lot for me, but I'm coming up on 200, and I've gotten those in the last 3 weeks' time. So that's a good accomplishment considering the whole 2 years before that I had zero. But so that's what we're doing, and continuing to make good use of what I do know about the internet and how it works. And I am going to also continue to with the ebooks. And I probably next week Sunday I will give you an excerpt from one of them. I also am publishing on my Blogspot the various excerpts from the books as I go. I am I'm resetting a lot of things these days in my life, and how I earn a living and where I live are at the top of those at that list. And I have settled on what I want to do and pretty much where I want to do it. But, you know, it's so cold right now in Northeast Georgia, it makes me want to move back to Phoenix. I likely won't, but I tell you, it makes Phoenix a whole lot more appealing. So now, having said that, I would also like to tell you that to give you a word of encouragement as you start to build your life. You may not be trying to build your life around internet technology, but in fact, we go further and further into the age of virtual life every day. And if you find yourself a place in that virtual life, then you'll do just like I did. Probably you'll go some ups and some downs, and then you'll come back and you'll settle on what it is that you really want to do for yourself, and you'll have a good time with it. So today we are not having a guest host, but we are in further episodes and upcoming episodes we will. And I will keep you posted on who those people are going to be as the time comes nearer. But we should talk about a tea party. And let me just tell you, I have in my whole life had one tea party officially, and that was my birthday 4 years ago. Excuse me. So I had everything planned, you know. Well, I don't have to tell you that I had all that I could have needed as far as equipage. Oh, I had enough. I think I had enough to sit. I set 12 tables, but I could have set 20. 20 tables for four people at each table. And it was beautiful. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go through and tell you what I did so that you'll know when you get ready to plan your sweetheart's tea party for next month, you'll have everything set up. Okay, so the first thing I want you to remember to do is invite a lot of people. Why? Because I invited a lot of people to my party, and three people came. That's one, two, three fingers. So there were six of us there, myself, two of my sisters, and three people that I invited. The idea was that I was inviting old friends and new friends, and I had two of each one at each table, supposedly. But they didn't show up, so either we had a chance of sitting each one at our own table, or we sat together and we would have more fun. So we sat together. What I served, okay, that's another great story, because as I was making my scones for the day, and my scone recipes are sweet potato and another one that is cheese. It was not provolone cheese. It was one of the Parmesan cheese, rosemary, garlic, and basil. And they were quite a hit, except that as I started making those scones, the oven died. I put two batches of scones in the oven, and in 2 minutes' time, they were all scorched, gone. So I had to shuffle on down to the grocery store. There is a Mexican grocery store in our neighborhood that has a fabulous bakery. So luckily, it was Saturday, which is when they do a lot of fresh baking. So I went down to the bakery, and I bought sweet rolls and sweet breads for the party. And we had two teas that day because one of my sisters don't like, or she can't drink black tea. And then we had some green tea. So the black tea that we had was black tea with lychee. And the green tea, I don't remember anything special about it, but I just know that there was some green tea in there. Now, if it was happening today, I'd be able to tell you just precisely which one, but that was 4 years ago before my love of tea expanded to what it is today. So we had those two teas. When you start making tea, if you're going to make more than one variety, more than one tea, and I really suggest that you do if you're going to have more than one person there, or if you want to give one person their choice of teas, I suggest a black tea and sometimes perhaps a green tea. But the one thing that you might also try is a blend and a simple. A simple is just one tea standing alone. For example, Assam is a very, very nice black tea and doesn't have anything added to it. If you use it alone, and then the other one would be my favorite, black tea with lychee, you'll have two very nice choices. Now, if you want to add green tea, and then, of course, I would suggest, especially if it's in colder weather, I would suggest that you use the gunpowder tea because it is rolled up. The leaves are rolled up, and when you steep them, the leaves uncurl. And because they're wholly teas, you can use them more than one time. And the second flush will be just about as full as the first one. So that's two things that you could do. I only did those two. And although people will generally go along with whatever is put before them, I have to suggest that you only sweeten your tea with honey, raw honey. Now, I won't go as far as to tell you that it ought to be locally grown, but here in Northeast Georgia, we do have a lot of commercial beekeepers, one of whom is a friend of mine, and she gives me a lot of tea. So I, therefore, am somewhat partial to local honey. So try that. I was going to tell you about the scones that I made. When I was planning my tea room, I settled on two recipes, and one of them I found at a in a magazine of some sort. That was a sweet potato one. And that was because I really love sweet potatoes. And I'm about to say that we were in the season of sweet potatoes. I don't know if there is such a season, but there, for some reason or other, there were a lot of sweet potatoes in my possession at the time. So I made sweet potato scones. And I did add just a smidgen of ginger, although it doesn't call for ginger. And then at the same time, I made this savory, you know, listening to and reading about who eats with tea. I was just trying to be sure that I had something nice to go with it, because, as you know, in my opinion, anything goes good with tea at any time. So that's what we had. I did not have anything to, I didn't have any type of sandwiches. And let me just stop for a minute right here and tell you that most of the tea books that I've read tell me something about cucumber sandwiches. Now, strictly speaking, I don't suppose a cucumber sandwich is any different from a pineapple sandwich or a tomato sandwich or a banana sandwich. It's just putting some fruit or some vegetables in between some bread. But somehow or another, I just have never been able to get too excited about a cucumber sandwich. So I, therefore, don't have anything to offer you about that. The only thing I will tell you, though, as far as what you're serving your for your tea party, serve what you like. That's just the simplest way to do it. And at the time, I was also using a fair amount of peanut butter and whole wheat bread. Now, there was a time when I fixed an afternoon tea for my mother and my sister, and I did give them some peanut butter on whole wheat bread and some kind of a sweet cookie and a few grapes and a slice of apple. They seem to enjoy it. I don't, so I would never tell you to get set in what you would serve, because each tea party is going to be different, and you want to keep the variety going. Another thing I want to tell you about that tea party that we had was that every table had its own color scheme. I had, as I said, I had dozens of cups and saucers and platters and cake plates. And so each table had a different color of equipage, right down to the napkins. And each table also had a magazine or a book and a game. And so that while people were sitting there, somebody's, you know, sitting there talking, and somebody can entertain themselves with the magazine or the book. I'll tell you about the magazines, though. Some of the magazines were the Tea Time magazine, and others were health magazines, like yoga magazines and stuff like that. And that was very interesting. Everybody thought it was really nice. I'm going to have to find somebody who can scratch up those pictures and give me some, because my copies of the pictures that I took are lost because they were on a computer that died last year, 2 years back. And so there's no way for me to retrieve them. See, again, this all happened before I discovered Google automatic backup. Well, that's okay. I'll keep making pictures. So I rented the space that I was going to use. Luckily, it was right across the street from where I lived, but I rented the space. And so I took everything that I had. I just left it in their totes. And I put everything that I had in the car and drove it across the street. The party was held at a restaurant called the Chef's Bistro, owned by Kevin Trimier. And so I rented Mr. Trimier's space for 2 or 3 hours, and that's where we were. And he came by there while we were there, and he said he liked looking at his restaurant be turned into a tea room. So I still have a tea room in my heart. I really do, in my head. So I am, one part of me resetting my life right now is to go very slowly through each step, very, very intentionally through each step, and then come back and reset, because I don't think I could be happy if I was to ever give up on my tea room. So that's a chance I won't have to take. I just won't do it. So the next thing, I already said invite a lot of people. And then I said also, I don't know what to tell you about how many how to get people to come. I don't know what to tell you about how to get them to say, oh, hey, thanks for the invitation. I'll be there. I have no idea. And there must be something. You know what else I did? I even went so far as to them to wear certain colors. Why did I do that? Because red, black, and white are the colors of my life. And that's what I wanted to see around my party room that day. So two of the three guests who came wore, one of them in particular, wore a beautiful multicolor black outfit. The other one had a little bit more subdued gray pantsuit, but they were both very, very well decked out. The other one, I don't know, I think she was a little bit depressed that day, but she just didn't quite connect on what I wanted her to wear. But anyhow, it was fun, and we had music. That was another thing. We had music, and every once in a while, I or one of my dancing machine sisters would dance, and we'd have a good time. You know, it was a nice time. Although, I'm going to just go ahead and tell the whole truth. I was so terribly disappointed that nobody came. I was terribly disappointed. So you can find yourself. Now, that's not the only time I've given a party when nobody came. I gave a birthday party, I guess 20, maybe 25 years ago. Nobody came to it either. Of course, now, that day was really bad weather. Now, that I do remember. It was bad weather. And, really bad weather. Sleeting. It was sleeting the night of the party, a Saturday night. Oh, well. So, anyhow, but don't be turned off by my stories. You just keep going and have yourself a tea party whenever you like. And in the meantime, continue to think in terms of tea as a friend of yours so that you will continue to build a relationship with tea, and you will continue to learn about it and experiment with it. And before long, you'll find yourself turning into a wonderful, wonderful tea hostess. I want to say something else to you, too, about making your tea. Okay. There are many times when, I might have already told you this before, but there are many times when you will read someone say, use only distilled water. Use only bottled water. I don't suggest that because, it's just a little bit too snobbish, and it gives you one more thing that you have to pay for before you can make some tea. So I don't suggest that. If you can drink the tap water in Cornelia and have a good cup of tea, I'm sure you can do it where you live. Now, another reason why I won't do it is I don't want to get snagged. You know what I mean? And then find out that yes, it does make a really big difference in how my tea tastes, and then I can't do without it. Well, I don't want to take a chance like that. So I'm not going to do it. I have been blogging all month on tea, this being National Hot Tea Month. And I'm going to, of course, at the end of January, that'll be the end of National Hot Tea Month, and I therefore will go back to a different topic. February is my birth month. In fact, my birthday is the 10th of February, but that's on Wednesday, so I'll do my birthday presentation on Sunday following the 10th. So let's take a look now at, I was going to tell you some things about sweeteners. And everybody has a sweetener that they use, that they prefer to use, that they generally do use in most cases. Now, I will tell you this about sugar, and I know that I've said it before, but I can't say it too many times. Sugar just is not your friend. That's just all there is to it. If you take some tea, if you take some green tea, perfectly brewed, perfect temperature, perfect cup, blah, 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 and you sweeten it with sugar, you might have destroyed all the health properties in that cup of tea. Now, I won't say that you have, but I just don't see how sugar could enhance the properties of tea. It enhances the taste of it, but not the properties of it. So that's another good reason to let yourself learn to love tea unsweetened. I've done that, and I've had some really great experiences. I want to also remind you that when you're sipping your tea, it does not hurt to slurp, because if you slurp it, that activates your sense of smell as well as your sense of taste, and you get a double, sort of like a double exposure of the tea, and that's a lot of fun too. So just be aware of these things. So honey is what I want, obviously, honey is what I want us to use, because I love honey. I do. Very, very much. I have a very, very vague recollection of honey from my early childhood. And what I remember most about it, other than it was so sweet, was just how sticky it was. And it didn't take long for me to just give it up and go back to sugar. Now, our house always had a plenty of sugar because my mother and grandmother always made cakes. So honey crossed my path again in the early 20s by way of a health food store in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was there in bulk. And you could just take a container with you and you buy whatever portion of it you wanted. You just walk over to the big container, open the spigot, and buy as much as you like. I loved it. And the variety, that was the other thing that was so thrilling. Clove, blackberry, orange, and many, many others. Other flavors of honey. I wondered, how did they manage that? Well, luckily, thanks to Virginia Webb at Mountain Honey, I have learned a great deal about how that happens, and it's no longer a mystery. It kind of is a mystery, but I understand it now. And so thereafter, I started to read more books. Not that I was trying to research honey, but I was researching alternative pathways to health. And I came across a book entitled Survival in the 21st Century, and another one entitled Our Earth, Our Cure. And the most, I should say, expansive one was Folk Medicine by D.C. Jarvis. He was a chiropractor, but he also had, I'm sorry, not a chiropractor, a veterinarian, but he also had human patients. And the foundation of his work was apple cider vinegar, properties of apple cider vinegar in health, as well as honey. So that's what I will tell you about honey. And I will continue with it as we go. And although January ends National Hot Tea Month, January, one week from today, I am going to always have some information for you on tea. Now, I want to go to the book review for today. This one is The Green Tea User's Manual by Helen Gustafson. It's a lovely little book. I want you to know it's almost a perfect square, and everything about it is green. Yeah, the illustrations on the front and all the illustrations throughout the book are pale green. That includes the font. Everything about this little book is mellow green. So the cover, you got a gold-toned teapot, and you got two little cups with sitting in their own bowl with their cover. And then you got a little plate of green tea sitting over to the side. Okay, so this book is, I highly recommend. It gives you a good conversation about green tea. Simple, because, okay, that's the title, The Green Tea User's Manual. It tells you a few things about the history of it. For example, she tells us about the origins of the tea bag and the origins of iced tea. And she has not one full chapter, but she does have information on the health benefits of green tea. And then she goes ahead and she discusses tisanes. And remember, a tisane is what you get when you prepare an herbal infusion. Green tea is a really, what should I say, complex and intricate item. And you must realize that for somebody to write an entire book, and remember, this is not the only book that we have devoted just to green tea. So you must, it should make you a little bit, at least, curious anyway, about how you can develop an interest in something to the extent that you would write a book about the one item. Well, it's simple. It's very, very simple because all you have to do is just open a book, and when you read it, it'll get you started. I think any one of these books that you used would be a great, great place to start. And I find it very, I feel very impressed with myself when I open a book and I read about something that I have right there in the cupboard. My tea cupboard is not all that expensive, but it does have a good, fair amount of stuff. Listen to this. For example, Sencha, Sencha. I have some of that right there in the cupboard over there. And she says that Sencha is Japanese. I'm sorry, Sencha is for the Japanese, what English breakfast tea is for the British. Listen to this. Ubiquitous, irreplaceable, and reassuring. Imagine. It's just it's something that you could only say after you've done some research. And me personally, my favorite way to research something is to experiment with it. And I don't care to just simply read a book, and I absolutely won't just read a website and consider myself informed. Oh, no. I have to read a book about it, and I have to try it for myself. Then I'll know that by the time I turn around and tell it to somebody else, that I've got it. This is another one that this book is good for, is that she gives you a lot of instructions. There are some recipes in here, and she tells you about each time that she pauses on a specific one of the varieties of green tea, she tells you how to brew it. And not only that, she tells you a little bit of history about each one. So, and then of course she gives you some information on choosing your right pot. This one, my favorite thing is the diagram she gives you of the three various temperatures for brewing tea: fisheye, string of pearl, and the turbulence of the waters. And these obviously just are the three various stages of tea water boiling. So I think you'll like that book. And well, if not that one, I'm sure you will find one that you will like. And I want to continue to encourage you to do, I want you to do one thing this week that's going to help you with your goal of living well. Now, you haven't told me, no one has ever told me, to tell you the truth, no one has ever told me that, Sandra, I have a goal of improving my health. No one has ever told me that. But I have had occasion for people to simply talk to me about their health. And I conclude sometimes from the things that people say that what they want to do is improve their health. And just the fact that someone listens to me, or someone reads my blog spot, someone comments on something that I post on my LinkedIn page, that makes me think that there are a lot of people who do have the goal of living well. So look this week and see what one thing would you do that you would be willing to do, and that you would consistently, continuously do to improve your health. My two simple, I have three simple things. One is to walk every day. One is to drink a kale shake every day. And of course, the other is to drink tea. And those are the things that I do to maintain my health. And at some point, probably in February, I'm going to discuss with you the connection between the walking and the green drinks and brain health, because that is crucial. Although February is Heart Health Month, we are going to add that in. Don't forget, February also is African American History Month, and we will be discussing those as well as heart health. And I will be post, and I will have music for you. We will soon be back to a visiting co-host. We are down to the last 3 seconds. This is Sandra Davenport, the Health Reverend. Live well today.